Hey everybody, this week on Flareon Films, we're talking about Trek.
Hit the music!
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead.
Hey everybody, I'm Michael Flaherty.
And I'm Colleen Flaherty.
Go ahead.
This is Flaherty's on Films, a pretty cool podcast where these Flaherty's talk about some films. Michael, what are we talking about this week?
This week, we're talking about the film Shrek. I'll read a description of what that is. A mean lord exiles fairy tale creatures to the swamp of a grumpy ogre who must go on a quest and rescue a princess for the lord in order to get his land back. Did that sound Scottish?
That sounded perfect. Michael, yeah, have you seen this film before?
You know, I saw it as a kid. I liked it as a kid, as a young tot. When I watched it again recently, I didn't realize just how much I used to like it.
You remember liking it?
Oh, I know every bit of this film. I was a big Shrek head. I really liked this movie as a kid.
Is that what you guys call yourself in the fandom? A Shrek head?
You know, I can't even joke about this because Shrek on the internet is like a huge thing. Like, weirdly, if you're an adult,
I have seen that meme posted 8 million times recently for some reason of Lord Farquaad saying, "Some of you may die, but that's a risk I'm willing to take."
Well, sure, because capitalism, right?
Or because of the pandemic situation.
Both.
It's so relevant, you know?
It's so relevant. There was a like a fan project called Shrek Remade where like a million people all recreated 15 seconds of Shrek, and then
you showed me
together.
That and I got bored of it real fast.
Oh, it's not entertaining, but like
it is not fun to watch.
No. But just the enthusiasm, the passion for Shrek is alive.
I remember seeing a Reddit post of somebody who collected VHS box sets of just Shrek, not any of the sequels. And he had like an entire bookshelf of hundreds of just the same copy of Shrek in a VHS.
I wonder if you're building forts if you have a million VHS. That's like bricks, you know, but they're all Shrek. They're all the one movie. Why?
Right. And I know that the non-Disney VHS boxes were like indestructible for some reason.
Wait, are you talking about, because the Disney one, that was the white plasticky big ones.
Yeah, but no, because I remember because Anastasia came in a different box and you could like step on it and it wouldn't break.
Like it was hard? Like it was a metal?
I don't remember why. I should have looked
into this. Here's who's going to tell us in our first segment, what the hell?
Time for Michelle. This is the part of the show that we do every week and it's never changed, where Michelle comes on and tells us some really cool facts about a film we're talking about, in this case, Shrek. Michelle, take it away.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on. Here are my facts. In 1991, Steven Spielberg purchased the rights to a 1990 children's book called Shrek. Now, the way it's written out has an exclamation point at the end, which means I will be saying it like
Shrek.
There's an exclamation point.
They should have kept that. I like that a lot.
I know, because it'd be Shrek. Anyways, it was written by the New York cartoonist William Steig. Shrek told the story about an ogre going on
audience,
a quest.
You are missing that Michelle is extending her arms in a fun gesture.
There's some jazz hands. It's pretty fun. So the book is about an ogre going on a quest with his donkey friend. Spielberg wanted to tell the story in a classic hand-drawn animation style. And so he bought the rights in 1991. However, in 1994, he would become founder of a new film studio called DreamWorks Pictures. DreamWorks would bring in the animation team from Spielberg's production company, Amblin Entertainment, whatever, but also artists who specialized in CG animation.
Is Amblin like
some... together, but now he needed a project.
Is Amblin like medication?
A producer decided to pitch an idea. There was a book he loved called Shrek. Not only did the studio heads love the idea, one of them already owned the rights. So Shrek. Got the green light.
What was that, Michael?
Oh, Amblin sounds like some medication you would take to go to sleep.
Like Ambien?
Oh, that's not that funny of a joke then, if it's that similar.
It's more like taking a loose kind of stroll, like you're Amblin down the road.
See, that's a good bit, Michelle.
That's a much better joke than what Michael said.
I'm going to get demoted off the show, I think.
Well, just say everything like there's an exclamation point at the end. You can redeem yourself.
All right, I'll try. I'll try.
Anyways, Chris Farley was cast as Shrek. Okay, I'm done now. He recorded almost all of his dialogue, up to 95%, before he passed in 1997.
I've heard that before, and that's very surprising to me that they just recast him, because I mean, you know, you hear about like what happened to Paul Walker in Fast and the Furious, and he died like halfway through shooting, and they just, you know, figured it out.
Well, that was also like 15 to 20 years later.
Also, that's what if you're really banking on sequels?
You know what? That's actually a good point. Yeah. I cannot believe anybody could have predicted how successful Shrek would be.
No, but you're right.
You make a really good point, Michael. Anyway, go on, Michelle. Oh, sure. And also, wait, before Michelle, Chris Farley was born in Madison, Wisconsin. Go on.
I actually didn't know
that. Yes, he was. So, unfortunately, they had to replace their lead. Executives considered Tom Cruise and...
Oh, my God. How terrible would that have been?
I know, right? And Leonardo DiCaprio, which also...
What?
What?
Huh.
I wonder.
I mean, I don't love Mike Myers.
Well, yeah, it's just hard to imagine it.
Right.
Here's what happened. Good. They offered the role to Nicolas Cage.
Here we go.
That's what it is.
Here we go.
Because he didn't want to look like an ogre.
Does he understand how voice acting works?
Hey, I get it. It's the 90s. You don't know what this fucking computer fancy shit is.
I may have mentioned this on the podcast before, but I remember reading an interview with Nicolas Cage where he refuses to gain weight for roles because he respects his body too much.
How brave.
Yeah, I know, right? Anyway.
Oh, he's so dedicated. Well, Nicolas Cage would later be overheard saying, maybe I should have done it. Looking back.
Can you imagine Nicolas Cage doing it?
And it would have been good. It would have been funny.
Would it have been creepy though?
It would have been funny in a way that he didn't mean it to be. Anyway. Yeah,
fair. Okay.
They would finally hire Mike Myers as Shrek. According to Mike Myers, he took the role for two reasons. He really wanted to work with Jeffrey Katzenberg, who I think is the producer of this movie. And he thinks it's a great story about accepting yourself for who you are. That's nice.
You know, sometimes I was worried about post-90s Mike Myers, but then I remember he's got the Shrek money, and then I feel better.
Oh, you worry about his success. He's fine.
There's also a lot of stories about him not being a really nice person to work with.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch.
Huh. Oh, I know one. Dana Carvey is really pissed at Mike Myers because the whole the Dr. Evil Pinky thing, that was just his impression of the SNL. Who's the
Lorne Michaels?
It was just his Lorne Michaels impression, and Mike Myers just took it and would never contact him about it. Anyway,
so
continue.
Don't feel that bad for Mike Myers. He's fine. But now that they had a new actor, they actually rebooted the story and the character. The Chris Farley Shrek was a teenage ogre who didn't want to work in the family business. So they basically had to scrap it.
Yeah, it's like a completely different film.
Completely different film.
Well, Michael, to give you some perspective, Chris Farley died in 1997, and this movie came out in 2001. So, yep.
Oh, so they took some time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Myers is a Canadian, and he decided to voice Shrek using his native accent. Once they finished all of his recordings, they gave him a rough cut. All of his recordings. He was all done. They showed him a rough cut of the whole film, and Mike Myers hated it. He thought there was something missing, so he started playing around with different voices before settling on a Scottish accent inspired by the voice his mother used to read him bedtime stories as a child. Myers requested that all of his lines be re-recorded.
Oh, what a diva, but I feel like that was a fun choice.
What a diva, but fairy, that's good. That's really, I know, right? The Scottish accent
like,
is
fuck him, but great job,
actually
Mike.
Actually kind of
the
important.
The position would ultimately cost DreamWorks $4 million extra.
It was worth it. They got that money
back.
Yeah,
it paid off. That was a good investment.
Jeffrey Katzenberg thought so too. So after he saw a small sample of the new screens, he signed off on a complete redo. He thought the Scottish accent was spot on. And afterwards, Spielberg wrote a letter to Mike Myers thanking him for caring enough about the character and improving the movie by re-recording all of his lines.
What's funny is I don't think his Scottish accent is 100% that good. It's like sometimes it just sounds like a guy doing an accent, but it's still like a good choice that he did that.
But it's like he's not from Scotland. He's just a fairy tale character, from, so it's fine. He's just doing a cute bit,
yeah,
which
it,
I love.
Yeah. It actually, no, it 100% works. But,
right, that's my point.
Yeah,
Shrek is kind of a hammy kind of character anyways, so also, you go hammy on the accent, it works.
I don't really like authentic Scottish accents because I don't understand that.
That's true.
Sure. This movie also made a lot of advancements in animation. One major thing that they improved upon was animating hair. They had to make the hair on the donkey that moved and was lit in a realistic way.
Question.
Which was much harder than in the previous movies. Michael, you have a question.
What's the latest Pixar movie before this movie?
I think I have an answer. Because I know that this movie, I'm so sorry, Michelle, if I'm taking this from you. I think it was the first movie to win in the category Best Animated Picture. And I think they beat out Monsters, Inc. Does that help you?
Yeah, I mean,
and that has a lot of hair in it. Because
I was thinking
that's Sully.
I was thinking that. It's a hairy movie.
So, and to also answer your next question, obviously Monsters, Inc. does a better job of animating than Shrek.
Yeah, for sure.
But
that's fair.
You can't beat out Pixar. That's not even a fair comparison.
Well, it's your first, as a studio, it's your first film.
Right, like, good job, DreamWorks. Yeah. You did your best, and you made a shit ton of money out of it.
They tried really hard. They also, in animating the donkey, they also, like, focused on the month. On the musculature in the whole body to make sure that it moved realistically. They also came up with 36 unique locations in which to film or animate, which, you know, that's a ton of work. So
when I was watching the film, there were scenes where I was really impressed with the animation and a lot of scenes where I was like, this is dated animation, you know, especially like the people faces. Michael, what did you think of the animation?
Well, I remember because I'm a Shrek head. I remember at the time, like, oh, Pixar's so lame. They don't have people. Like, Fiona looks like a real person. But watching it now, it's just like, she looks like a weird thing. She doesn't really look like a person. You know, there's a reason Pixar didn't animate real. Like, when Andy was on screen, you're like, Andy, get off screen. Let the plastic toys be on screen. You know what I'm talking about?
Michael, apparently fans of Shrek's are known as brokers.
No, they're not.
I'm very happy.
That's better than a brony.
It feels like a take on brony, to be honest.
I love it.
There's an entire Wikipedia page on Shrek fandom. I'm going to save that for later.
I'm really
just for myself, and I suggest that for everyone else.
I'm filled with joy.
So once the whole film was completed, they had to do the focus group and test audiences. They hadn't found the right song for the opening of the film, so they just shoved in All Star by Smash Mouth as a placeholder. The audience loved it so much that the producers were like, well, F it. We'll just keep it. They
asked
Smash Mouth to record a cover of I'm a Believer for the Edge.
Oh, they did. One of my favorite Twitter things of all time was apparently the lead singer of Smash Mouth corrected many, many people on Twitter that All Star is not a movie or a song that was made for the Shrek film. It is not from the Shrek film. It is their original song that came way before then, and it was very successful before Shrek was even a thing.
Are you sure? Because this song was in Mystery Man, and the music video has a snippet from the movie Mystery Man in the beginning.
Yeah, that's... So I'm saying it's not a Shrek thing.
But you said it's an original song. I thought it was a Mystery Man song.
Whoa.
Maybe
I'm
bullshit.
You're right, actually.
I might be
that.
Full of shit.
Whoa. Anyway, Michelle, go on.
Sorry.
Yeah. Let's see. I don't know if this will come up later in the podcast, but Katzenberg was one of the founders of DreamWorks and had left Disney on not so great terms. And so Shrek might include some not-so-subtle references to Disney.
Nope.
So they had, before they took the movie to the premiere, they had to show it to Disney lawyers to avoid lawsuits. Thankfully,
I can't
the lawyers
believe
are like,
they would avoid lawsuits. They're really skirting the line.
I mean, yeah, they're public domain characters.
That's true. Michael, All Star is an original song.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So, but very shortly after its release on its own album, it was then released on the Mystery Men soundtrack. So I can understand why they would have included it in the music video.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I've heard that about Jeffrey Katzenberg, and I thought it was, that's another reason I thought I would dislike it, or I would like Shrek a little less on rewatch, because it's like, oh, it's just, it's like someone who bitterly hates Disney, and it's, they're not really saying anything with this movie. And I was wrong. So I'm sorry to Jeffrey Katzenberg about thinking that. Also, I can't believe a producer has that much creative input.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if he, I mean, his name is on the thing, so if anyone's going to get sued, he's one of them.
Sure, sure. I just, I think I was influenced by another, maybe a YouTube personality who was complaining about this, and I was like, yeah, fuck Shrek. But you know what? It's fine. Everyone settle down.
That's fine. So Shrek would premiere on May 18th, 2001. It had a budget of $60 million. And it grossed $484 million.
They did it.
Yeah, they did it. Congrats, DreamWorks. Shrek would even make the top 10 highest grossing films of 2001. Get ready. Your question of the week is coming up.
Ooh.
Where does it fall on that list of the top 10 highest grossing films of 2001?
Number one.
Three.
Colleen is closest. It is the fourth highest grossing film of 2001.
Where were the first three?
The first three were Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Oh, Michael.
Sure.
We didn't know that.
Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Rings. And Monsters, Inc.
Monsters, Inc. beat it?
Monsters, Inc. beat it. I think it was third.
I'm surprised, actually. But I guess Monsters, Inc. is also a very good film.
But it's, you know, some films do bad, but have more of a cultural impact. I think Shrek is more known than Monsters, Inc.
That's true. You know, I think Monsters University, the sequel, is underrated, and I think it's very good. I would recommend it.
All right, I'll check it out.
Just for our podcast audience. Anyway, Michelle, sorry.
Sure, yeah. So regarding the original AFI, Shrek was nominated for the top 100 list. It didn't make it. Shrek did make one AFI list, coming in as number 8 for the top 10 animated films.
Oh.
It is the only non-Disney or Pixar film to be on the list. So.
Of how many?
10.
Oh, yeah, okay. Makes sense.
Top 10, it's number 8. Yeah. And then we already talked about its Oscar win. Shrek won the first ever best animated film, beating out Monsters, Inc. So good job, them.
Good job.
They did it.
I'm so sorry that I subverted that.
No, it's a big fact. Also, they did, I watched that Oscars actually, and they animated the characters like coming, like walking down the red carpet. It was kind of cute.
Was it creepy though? It sounds creepy.
I don't remember it being creepy, but maybe if we watch it now, it would be.
I mean, they better have won. Do you met how many hours would have to go into that? Jesus Christ.
Yeah but sure.
Monsters, Inc. was also up. Like, Monsters, Inc. probably would have done the same thing.
Yes. I imagine.
That ends my facts for Shrek.
Oh, thank you. That was what the hell.
Time for Michelle. Michelle, thank you so much for those great facts.
It's my pleasure to be right all the time.
All right. Let's go on to our Critics Corner, where we hear what the critics have to say about this film, Shrek. I'll start. With him. Improbable finesse. It buffs up some of the oldest tropes of storytelling and then gives them a mischievous tilt so that we appear to be watching a celebration of a genre and a sneaky subversion of it all the same.
So sneaky. Oh.
Says Anthony Quinn of The Independent from the UK. I kind of agree. By the way, I should mention Rotten Tomatoes has this at 88%. So
fun.
People like this film. Critics and audience alike.
Here's from Angela Hartley. She writes for the publication Amazon Reviewing. I watched this movie as, hold on. I watched this movie when it first came out and loved it. However, after renting and watching with my kids, I realized there's quite a lot of language in it. They use the D-A-M-N at least twice. And I make an excessive amount of J-A-C-K-A-S-S jokes, referring to the donkey. It is a cute movie, but I give it 1 star because the bad language keeps me from letting my kids watch it again. Just let the kids see it.
A lot of the 1 star reviews are about the bad language.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Wowzers.
I might kind of agree that there are a lot of very obvious adult jokes in this film.
Yeah, I was thinking like, you know, some jokes are called like, oh, that's a wink to the audience. I would describe some of these jokes as a scream to the audience.
Right. When Lord Farquaad has a boner and then looks under the sheets and then looks side to side, I'm like, I get it.
And then he says the word boner to the camera. We're like, we know.
What the film lacks in its faintest glimmer. Oh, sorry. One more time. What the film lacks is the faintest glimmer of charm, says Anthony Lane of the New Yorker.
Charm. In reading the reviews of this movie, I wonder just how mind-numbed the average moviegoer is. Was I the only one who noticed that the only villains in the film were invariably white and male? Or that or that the curse that the princess was cured of was being a Caucasian female. Shrek struggled between being a mindless parade of fart jokes and an example of political correctness run amok. That's the problem with this film. Too politically correct. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Do special effects make up for a weak, predictable plot, gutter humor, and racist overtones? It's too. You know what my problem with this movie is? Too politically correct and too racist. That's my least. Oh God. Not done. Apparently so. Judging from the reviews. Beam me up, Scotty. There really is no intelligent life here. God, that was an adventure. That review.
Sure was.
That was from Chaz, an Amazon reviewer.
Shrek may not have the class of Buzz Lightyear. Because that's what you think of when you think of Buzz Lightyear, what a classy dude. But he's a lovable great lunk. And you could do a lot worse than summer than see this. That's Peter Bradshaw of The Guardian.
That was actually a pretty great review. I loved that review.
The class? Buzz Lightyear.
But lovable lunk. I mean, spot on, Peter.
I do like lovable lunk. Yes.
All right. So this is from Wesh2 News, which is from Amazon. What's not funny green and smells bad? You guessed it, my vomit. But enough about me. I'm here to review this awful movie. Shrek is terrible. Not to bring myself back into this, but I think I'd rather spend the night throwing up than watching this disaster from DreamWorks. Donkeys can't talk, period. End of story. I can't believe I wasted 5 hours watching this film. The film's 2 hours long. I watched it for the Easter eggs. Anyway.
So you watched it twice.
Anyway, have a good night and stay far away from this movie. What the fuck?
Michael, that was an amazing read of that.
What the fuck was that review, man?
That was, oh boy, oh boy.
Should we move on to our next segment?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do favorite part, least favorite part. Michael, what was your least favorite part of the film?
Well, can I say my favorite part for just because I know it? My favorite part?
But that's less, I think it's more fun to
okay,
end on favorite
okay.
part.
Okay, you do least here because I still got to think of mine.
Okay, so I mentioned to Michael that in preparation for this film, I watched Shrek 2. I want to recommend it for all the audiences home. Because it has the most fun voice actors. Rupert Everett, Jennifer Saunders, John Cleese, Antonio Banderas.
Who's Rupert Everett again? I forget.
He was in My Best Friend's Wedding. He's just an English actor who
he's
has
a guy.
He played Prince Charming in Shrek 2.
Okay.
And he does a very good job.
All right.
But also Antonio Banderas' Puss in Boots. So good.
Yeah.
But the thing about Shrek 2 is it falls to the what a lot of sequels do where they go too big and they do too much of what people liked, they think people liked about the first one, right?
Yeah.
So it really made me realize what I disliked about this movie. By the way, I think Shrek 1 is actually a better film, even though Shrek 2 has a lot of fun bits. God, Jennifer Saunders doing Holding Out for a Hero.
A fucking great bit.
So good. So good. It's just such a fun watch, even if it's not maybe that great a movie. So my least favorite is I don't like reference humor, and I think it just does not age well.
Oh, no. Sure.
I think actually before we started recording, Michelle mentioned there's the fight scene, how she thought it was really funny when she was like a kid and watched it, because it's just like a Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. And that's a fun bit. Or when they do the wrestling bit, like give him the chair. It's like, because that's the thing they do in modern times. But this is medieval fairy tale times. And isn't that funny?
It's kind of funny. I laughed. I laughed this time watching the movie.
Did you? When they said give him the chair, you're like, that's actually fucking did. Hilarious.
No, it's just because it's like so dumb. Like it's so silly.
But also WWE still gives people the chair to the face.
Sure. So it's timeless is your argument, Michelle.
Chairs to the face are timeless.
So Shrek 2 made me realize how much I disliked it because they did it so much worse. In the first 10 minutes, they referenced like Lord of the Rings and Sam Raimi's Spider-Man. And by reference, I mean they just do the bit from the film.
What's the Spider-Man one?
That she kisses him upside down. That's it.
It's in Shrek 2 or 1?
Shrek 2.
Oh, okay. I was thinking Shrek 1. I'm like, what are you talking
about? Shrek 2. So Shrek, like I said, Shrek 2, they do it way worse. There's a bit where they're in a medieval Starbucks that burns down. So everyone leaves it to go to the Starbucks across the street.
Because
those are everywhere, man.
No, they're that's a lot.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
It's okay. I have something to add to that. When Shrek's or when Fiona's fighting all the Robin Hood men and then she just does the Matrix kick. That's something that made me like, oh, of course. But I'm like, that's probably fine. I mean, at the time, it was funny. And it's still like...
I remember at the time, I thought it was very funny.
I'm like, it's not that bad. I don't know.
Or the Michael Flatley bit. Like that.
What's that bit?
The Irish dancing thing. Because Michael Flatley was a big fucking deal.
Oh, I see.
Well, Lord of the Dance.
I didn't even get that was a reference to anything.
Oh, it was quite a reference. sorry, my other least favorite bit... I hate to do it, but it's Fiona's character. And I already know what you're going to say. You're like, oh, I knew you were going to do chick thing.
Oh, it's Michael, sick. Yeah.
Michael, let me finish.
Fucking SJW finish. Virtue signaling. All right, go ahead.
I just find her character really boring. It's really, really related to both these things relate to my favorite parts because one of my favorite things about this movie that was really unexpected is I love Shrek's character. I think Whoa. It's interesting. I think because all I remembered was like, oh, onions, like ogres are like onions. They have layers. But I actually thought the movie did a really good job of a layered, interesting character in this movie. And I think he plays well off of Donkey, who's like just, oh, he's just obnoxious sidekick. But no, you feel their friendship. You feel how they open up with each other, that they're super different, but they're the same in their loneliness. And you feel that. And Fiona is just she's just a plot device. She's like a normal princess, but then she's like chill, you know? She farts and
burps.
Right. And then at the end, when it's like, oh, they kiss, and sorry, spoiler alert, and she keeps being an ogre, it's like, no, but you're beautiful. It's like, oh, isn't that fun that they're subverting expectations? This isn't a fucking Disney movie. And it's like, you get to be sad that you never have to be, you never get to be human again. That's fair.
You do. Although, so, yeah. I maybe have a slight counterpoint to that. Have you seen the Disney film Beauty and the Beast?
I have.
I was thinking that this movie is kind of like that movie because it is a beauty and a beast who fall in love. And one of the ideas, one of the themes of this movie is like, you know, oh, it's on the inside that counts. It's not the outside. You know, he's an ugly monster, but you can still love him, whatever. That's a pretty simple, you know, nice little message for kids, whatever. But I still think this movie does it a little better than Beauty and the Beast.
I absolutely agree. And here's why my least favorite part is kind of stupid, is I don't know how else they should have done it, right? Like, yeah. I don't think, would it have been better if she was a hot princess and they stayed together? I don't know. It, you know, because it was just nice. I just don't, I feel like Fiona falls into a lot of the I'm a tough, cool woman tropes. She's not like her own person in an interesting way.
Totally.
But what should they have done differently? I don't know, because I really like what he and Donkey went through together. So
totally. Anyways,
have you thought of your least favorite part since then?
Yeah, I don't really hate anything. Maybe like because I'm a fucking, you know, safe spaces kind of guy. Maybe the short jokes are a little too much, but even I still laughed at them, but they're probably pretty insensitive.
I thought that did sort of, it was funny because it was like, it's not about your looks, but this guy's really fucking short. Am I right?
That's a really good point. I never put that together. That's really funny.
But I think this is an argument like people make about Trump a lot. Like, it's okay because it's okay to make fun of someone's physical appearance if they're a truly terrible person.
And like,
I don't know if I buy, but.
And it is sort of a thing like Trump where Farquaad, like, makes himself try to look tall all the time.
And in, yeah, I also felt bad about the ones I laughed at with those jokes.
So maybe the worst part is just like the, like, I don't know what you call this kind of attitude, but like the smelly farts are funny kind of humor. I don't know what that's called.
Like toilet humor?
Yeah, like, oh, your mom's not going to want to see this movie because it stinks. You know, that kind of attitude.
Yeah, they did also a lot of those in Trek too.
But it's not like that bad. I don't know. It's his character. It's not like it comes out of nowhere. Like, oh, that ruined a good movie. Like, oh, that's who he is. So it's fine.
Isn't it funny that Fiona likes burps too?
Well, kind of, because they have something. You know, it's not like Beauty and the Beast. Like, oh, he lets her read a book. How cool.
That's, you know, Shrek is also her captor.
That's a funny bit when he's like, I'm nobody's messenger boy, I'm a delivery boy. that's funny. What a silly line.
So I actually, Mikey, this is a really good segue to my favorite parts, because weirdly my favorite parts are Shrek as a character, which I kind of got into a little bit. Like, I really think you see his character development. You see how he likes being alone, but he doesn't like being an outcast. He just is. And you see his vulnerability and you see him grow, but not in a way he has to grow, you know, just in a way that he becomes more vulnerable and realizes he can make connections with people.
I totally agree. There's a lot of main characters where it's like, ha, get it? They're an asshole. But Shrek is not that.
That's what I thought he was going to be. That's why I thought I wasn't going to like this movie. I'd be like, oh, he's a guy who farts a lot. He's an asshole. He's not.
There's a scene.
He's actually sweet.
There's a scene early on where, as Shrek and Donkey are first meeting, and Donkey starts following him home, and Shrek is kind of like confused. He's like, don't you mind that I'm like a big, ugly, I'm yelling? And Donkey's like, no, I don't mind at all. And he's like, oh, okay, that's nice. And then they just keep walking. I'm like, oh, that was a really nice moment that they just had.
You can see his vulnerability. Also, I do think it's kind of, they do kind of Disney his face up, right? He's not like an ugly ogre. He's adorable, right?
I mean, I'd be afraid if I saw him and he screamed at me.
Yeah. Did they change his size throughout, or is it just me? Like, sometimes he seemed like twice as big as a person.
Maybe, yeah, they just changed the size of people.
Sure. And I have to say my other favorite thing with this, which is so, again, I guess these aren't my favorite things. These are things that I like was surprised at how much I liked. I laughed a lot. Some of the jokes are very funny.
Like, I hate it when you got somebody in your face, you're trying to give them a hint and they won't leave. And then there's that big awkward silence, you know.
I thought the part where they do the magic mirror dating game bit made me laugh so much.
Which is a reference.
It is. It's a reference, but it's not. Okay, so like when they do her doing Crouching Tiger, they're just doing the thing from the movie. A good reference joke is they're playing on it, right?
Yeah, totally. Oh, that's a good point.
Like, so here's, can I just read? Because I wrote it down because I thought it was so funny.
Please.
Where they're like, Cinderella is a mentally abused shut-in who likes sushi and hot tubbing anytime. Snow White lives with 7 men, but that doesn't make her easy. And last but not least, Bachelor at number 3, fiery redhead from a dragon garden castle surrounded by hot boiling lava, but don't let that cool you off. She's a loaded pistol who likes pina coladas and getting caught in the rain. Yours for the rescuing. I'm like, that's funny shit.
That's funny.
It made me fucking laugh. And I also like when Shrek makes really dorky jokes.
Yeah.
Where he comes on the castle and he's like,
sure, it's big enough, But look at the location.
What a stupid dad joke.
And Doc is just like, I don't get it.
And I think the Duloc bit is funny. I don't know. I just was surprised how much it made me laugh after all these years. And I went in like a cynical asshole thinking I wouldn't like it. And it got me.
Donkey's line where they like, oh, Donkey, you need to go get blue flowers right now. And then they're like, why did you do that? I was like, oh, you know, we just got to get rid of him. But then he's like looking around. He's like, okay, blue flower, red throat, blue flower, red throat. This would be so much easier if I wasn't colorblind.
This is so crazy that he got the right flowers. Also, I thought that Eddie Murphy would be so much more obnoxious, but I liked his character.
So that's probably my favorite part. I really liked the friendships at the end. When they come together at the end, it's like, hey, you love her, go get her, and we don't have to shut each other out, and we can be friends. It's just like fucking beautiful.
Here's why I think I watched Shrek too much with you when we were children.
Yeah.
Is sometimes I will think of those songs he sings, but I'll think of it first in Eddie Murphy as Donkey's voice.
Like what?
You got to try a little tenderness.
It's basically how the real song goes.
That's like one of my favorite Otis Redding songs, but for some reason, Eddie Murphy's voice doing it comes in first.
I'm all alone. There's no one here beside me. I don't even know what song that is.
You gotta have friends is the song.
Oh, well, there you go.
She got to have friends. It's great.
I have one more thing. The animation is real old. Like, the people look gross. And there's a lot of environments where, like, there must be, like, 10 polygons in their budget. Because there's just not a lot going on. But I actually thought the expressions on the characters were very, very good. Impressive character animation.
That's how they got Shrek. I mean, that's how he got to me as a character. I was so surprised. You know, how many times in this podcast do I complain about the dude character that we're supposed to feel for, but he's just a fucking asshole or he's annoying, and they take all these shortcuts because we're just supposed to care about them.
Yeah.
And this movie does it really well. I care about Shrek.
Mike Myers is definitely helpful. He's got a soulful voice. There's soulfulness there.
I can't imagine any other Mike Myers movie where I feel that. Right. But, I mean, Wayne's World is great. Don't get me wrong.
Obviously.
Would never impede Wayne's World. Anyway, that was a fun discuss. Should we get into the...
I cannot believe we have not brought up Farquaad's voice actor yet.
John fucking Lithgow?
Yeah, he's fucking great.
He's so good.
There's one line that's like, man, if it wasn't John Lithgow, that would have been such a stupid line, but it was the best line. Where he's like, John Lithgow's like, well, no one cares about you, Shrek, because you're an ugly monster. It's like really corny and on the nose, but he's just got such a great voice.
I think it's weird he hasn't done more voice acting, just because he has the most perfect voice.
He's got the best voice. All right, now we're going to go through the plot of Shrek. So first I actually kind of like the opening. It's like the fairy tale book where we hear the legend of Fiona. Oh. And it's like, oh, she's guarded away in a tower, and the music. And this is a weird thing, but Shrek actually has a lot of music, like pop music. But it actually has like an orchestral theme to it that I really like.
Right.
Yeah. Well, if you put
I did it perfectly.
If you did it like that, oh yeah, sounds great. But cut to more importantly, Smash Mouth plays, which hasn't aged. That's a great fucking song.
Well, it's also just a fun because you know the doing the storybook. That's how a lot of the old Disney films start. So doing that with the fun Smash Mouth, that's just a fun juxtaposition.
I feel like you're trying to run away from the point. All Star by Smash Mouth is a great song.
Every time I think about Smash Mouth, I think of that YouTube video you showed me where they do the years start coming and they don't stop coming over and over and over again for like 6 hours. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop 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 coming
and they don't stop coming and they don't stop coming and they don't stop coming and they don't stop. So yeah, in the beginning of the movie, we see Shrek doing his Shrek things. It is actually pretty funny when all the villagers like come to hunt the monster and Shrek just like kind of tiptoes behind him and then he's like just playing games with them basically just
it's
for fun.
Very cute.
It's really cute.
This is, again, when I watch the opening, I'm like, fuck movie, you got me. I like this.
What also does it, this movie has kind of a few things. The world of it is fun, where the world of Shrek is what if all the fairy tale creatures, which you'd think had been done 1,000 times. And I believe is actually the plot of The Witcher, like the books and the Netflix show and the video games. It's like all the fairy tale creatures.
Also, the ABC show Once Upon a Time.
But that's specifically like that Disney IP is all coming together, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there is Synergy Bastards. So. Sorry, I meant to say Synergy Sluts.
So it's just a fun world. Better. And for some reason, like all the characters, like the three little pigs and the fox, like they're all like really fun. Like the three blind mice. Like every time there's a new one, like why is that such a fun interpretation of that character? The gingerbread man. Oh.
Yeah, with the blind mice, it's like, let's do jokes about them being blind, but also they have really funny Cockney accents.
It's like, that was a great choice.
That was a good choice. They did this awful joke in Shrek 2 about Pinocchio wearing ladies' underwear. Anyway, go on.
Oh, boy. Anyway, we are introduced to Shrek, who's fine. We're introduced to Lord Farquaad. We're seeing a whole bunch of the fairy tale creatures being rounded up. We get to see Donkey, and yeah, for some reason I like the scene with the old lady trying to sell Donkey. She does use the ASS word. I don't know about that.
A bit, a few times. The a $$.
Anyway, here's sort of our first main problem in the movie. Shrek wakes up and his whole front yard is just full of fairy tale creatures. And he's like, I'm going to go Farquaad, and you're all going to get off. And then they're like, yay! He's like upset. That was Cupid.
I'm sad you didn't use fairy tale creature ghetto, which I wrote in the notes.
Fairy tale creature ghetto. I'm so sorry. Here's a thing I like about this movie. Besides maybe like in the middle of the film for a bit, I think this movie has a great pace to it. I feel like fun thing happens, like back. Except for a little bit in the middle.
So, yeah, because all these knights are after Donkey, and Shrek kind of saves him.
Yeah.
And that's how they meet. And that's nice. But then it goes right into then all these fucking people are over. All over his. What happens? How does he realize that?
What's
Isn't
that?
Isn't it like a fun, slow reveal where he realizes that 8 million people are in a swamp?
Yeah, because he's just sitting, he's eating his food, and then he has the mice, and then he has the fox reveal, and then he's like, oh, what's going on? And then he goes outside. Yeah, it's a fun reveal.
When you say fox, do you mean Big Bad Wolf?
That's what I meant, yeah. It was I pictured in my mind, I'm like, who is that? It's a fox-type creature. I'll go with that.
Fair enough. So, anyway, we actually meet Lord Farquaad, and he's torturing the gingerbread man. Which, what did you think of that scene, Michael?
I love that scene. What's the bit he does? He's like,
do you know the Muffin Man?
The Muffin Man?
The Muffin Man.
Yes, I know the Muffin Man. Who lives on Drury Lane?
Well, she's married to the Muffin Man.
The Muffin Man?
The Muffin Man!
She's married to the Muffin Man.
Again, Michael, to your point,
yeah,
that John Lithgow is one of the only, one of the few people in the world who could pull that off so perfectly. No. I do know the Muffin Man who lives on Drury Lane. Like, his delivery is just so perfect. That's what sells the joke.
That scene got me for sure.
I mean, the scene got me because it also, it's so funny how much time they spent on it that it goes nowhere. So then they bring in the magic mirror and then the little gingerbread man, don't tell him anything! Fucking got me, man.
Yeah, totally.
So then the magic mirror does his bit where he's like, isn't this the finest kingdom? He's like, well, you're not a king. And then he has the guy break the mirror in front of him. He's like,
but you could be.
What were you saying? And then he does that.
Yeah, another instance where you get another character, a magic mirror, and for some reason he's like really fun. Like, yes, they did a good job with every side character, making them fun.
So it was like, so which is it? You know, princess number one. And it's like, pick two, pick three, my lord.
Pick three, my lord.
Like, all right. It's very funny.
But I love how John Lithgow's like, I don't know. I don't know. Just like his sort of thinking.
It's very cute. It's
really cute.
So he decides on Princess Fiona. She's in the castle guarded by a dragon. So he's going to send a champion to rescue her. Cut to Shrek and Donkey. They're on their little venture. They arrive at, what is it called? Duloc.
Duloc.
And they do a very funny bit
where, I mean, it's clearly just Disneyland, right? That's the joke.
Yeah.
But, so they go in and they, those little figurines sing a little song about how perfect Duloc is.
Yeah, it's so funny, man. As a kid, the figurines do the bit. Maybe you were just about to say this, but we're like, you must stay off the grass, wipe your shoes, wipe your... And then they all turn around to show their asses, but then they're like, no, face. And are like, that's the like the least subtle you could be. Like, you can't be less subtle than that.
Here's the thing about me.
But as a 10-year-old, I'm like, that's fucking good.
Here's the thing you should know about me as a 30-something adult.
Yeah.
Near rhyme jokes are fucking funny. And they make me
laugh. It's kind of funny because, like, how did you even write that? That's so dumb. The way you executed that was, like, so crass. It was great.
See, this is... I'm
imagining them programming the figurines and they're like, they're saying ass, right? And they're like, yeah, we all know.
Yeah, this makes me kind of sympathize with the Amazon ones or reviewers who are like, maybe this wasn't perfect to show my 5-year-old. By the way, I showed this whole film to my 2-year-old. Anyway.
Right. And you're like, Elaine, they're just saying ass if you're not picking up.
If you don't get what's happening.
Elaine, pay attention.
Like, no, I want to watch SpongeBob. Anyway. So Shrek and Donkey, they get to this whole thing where the champions are, they're battling each other so they can go rescue Fiona.
Can I say something? Farquaad. I might be an idiot because there's a big thing with the plot that I still don't understand.
Okay, go on.
Shrek goes, okay, I'll do this because I need you to get those fairy tale creatures off my property.
You gotta let me finish. You gotta let me get to that bit.
Okay, go ahead.
So they arrive and Farquaad's like, all right, guys, whoever kills the ogre gets to be the champion. But then Shrek wrestles them all in the WWE.
I don't give a damn about my reputation. That place.
I remember as a kid really, I bought the soundtrack and really liked it.
It's a good soundtrack.
Any soundtrack
with All-Star is a good soundtrack. Mystery Men's a good soundtrack. They're all good.
Do you actually know that about Mystery Men? Can you name a second song in the Mystery Men soundtrack?
That's my whole point. I don't need to.
Fair enough. So he beats up all the knights. And then Farquaad's like, all right, I guess this ogre is the champion. Yay. Okay. And then Shrek's like, I don't want to fucking be your champion. He's like, well, why not? It's like, because I just want people off my land. It's like, all right, you go get this princess. I will give you your land. Michael, now tell me your point.
My point was, he goes, okay, you have to get the fairy tale creatures off my property. And Farquaad says, oh, okay. The implication there is that Farquaad didn't know where the fairy tale creatures were, I thought, which doesn't make sense to me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It makes sense to me. I mean,
I thought Farquaad, it seems like in two universes, one of the universes is Farquaad banished all the creatures to Shrek Swamp, and in another universe, Farquaad doesn't know where the creatures are, and he wants to know.
Here's how I see it. You know,
oh, yeah, and he's torturing Gingerbread Man to find out where they are. So, like, who's putting them there?
Where the rest of them are.
Right.
So he knows where these fairy tale creatures are.
Oh,
he said to somebody, you know, he's an administrator, Michael. He's a manager. He's not a micromanager. He said, get all these fairy tale creatures into some kind of unarable ghetto land that I never have to see. Just put them somewhere. He doesn't know exactly where. So he is surprised to hear that someone's living in this gross swamp where they've all gone.
This cleared up the plot hole. So when he's torturing Gingerbread, he's not referring to the creatures that are already in Shrek's swamp.
Correct.
Got it.
He needs more fairy tale creatures.
This movie for kids is too confusing for me. I gotta say that.
He did say the rest of them. That was a line he said.
But the rest of them minus Gingerbread Man, I thought. The rest of them is in Not You. Where are the rest of them?
But now you get it?
Now I get it. Now I'm there.
All right. Well, tell us what happens next.
Okay. They get to the castle. The line is very funny. When he says the size, baby, look at the location. I'm just going to say the bit again. I don't care. We'll have a second.
It's funny.
We'll have
it's
a second
great.
Retelling of the joke. They get into the castle and Shrek is like, well, actually, the book that we read at the beginning was not just a throwaway bit. I actually remember the contents of the book, and I know where Fiona's room is because of that book.
In the tallest tower?
In the highest
room in the tallest tower.
Yeah.
Can I say, here's another thing that surprised me about this movie, is I do really hate annoying sidekicks. But I did like Eddie Murphy when he's, even when he's doing his really annoying bits where he's like, all right, you go find stairs or something to go find the princess. He's like, all right, I'm gonna find the stairs. I'm gonna be the stair master. Here's, no one gonna find stairs.
Here's probably my actual least favorite bit of the movie is when Donkey encounters the dragon, and the dragon is sexually attracted to Donkey, and Donkey does not want it. And it isn't not rape jokes. You know
I
what I mean?
I think I made that a note right there.
Okay. So I was like, huh, aged out? Not too...
Well, it's Michael, it's okay because he came around in the end, so it's fine.
He liked it. He... You see, he wanted it.
I think he made really obvious lines, right? Like, God, what did he say? I can't even remember. Like, I do not like this. I don't want...
It's really overt. Yeah, it's real.
It's very overt.
It's very bad. But the whole setup of the scene is kind of funny that Shrek, like, that the bit is all the champions who have come in there. There's been a lot of knights who go to this castle to try and kill the dragon and free Fiona. They all try to kill the dragon. They all lose. So Shrek and Donkey, they just skip the dragon. And when they go rescue Fiona, Fiona's like, you didn't kill the fucking dragon? But it's like, it's one of those jokes where it's like funny, but it's also like thematic, because that's like the whole point of the movie. It's like, it's
that
not a typical...
subverts expectations.
He's not a typical fairy tale. And he's like, yeah, he's not just the monster. He's the good guy, actually. So it's like a really cool joke.
Can I say I also kind of like the really weird animation trope where you can tell something's a girl by having really nice thick eyelashes?
Love it. Love it.
Anyway, that's a dragon bit. Go on, Michael.
I thought you had lipstick as well.
Perhaps. Go on.
Anyway, they escape the castle. And Fiona finds out, Shrek reveals, she thought he was a knight, her true love, even perhaps, and they're going to kiss. Fiona's like, we should kiss now. We're true loves. We're loves forever. But Shrek is like, all right, I am wearing a helmet currently, but I'm going to take it off. And now you know, I'm an ogre. So it's not meant to be. And Fiona's like, well, fuck it. This isn't right. I don't like any of this. I'm going to stay right here. I'm not reading this document. And then Shrek is like, you know what? Well, my mission is to go get you and take you back to Farquaad. So fuck you. I'm going to do it. So he just...
He's not an errand boy, Michael.
I'm a delivery boy. We're if you want to hear jokes twice, you're at the right podcast. So she just throws her over her shoulder and they start walking through the forest.
You know what's weird? It's like, I think there are kind of bad implications in that, but it didn't bother me that much. Is that terrible?
No, just, I mean, it's not
especially
like...
Especially because I feel like later in the movie, they kind of make a point that she's clearly someone who can take care of herself and has agency. She just doesn't have a lot of choices.
It would be bad if there was like... I mean, we've seen old movies from like the 40s where the men have that kind of behavior toward the women. But you get it's like they're attracted to each other. Like there's no chemistry at this point. It's not that kind of deal.
That's very true.
Yeah. And then we get the scene. This is in this part of the summary. We get the really lovely scene where they stop to make camp. And Donkey and Shrek have like a nice heart-to-heart while just talking about the stars.
I cannot shut up about how good the emotional core of this film is.
Yeah. About Shrek. It's just weird. Yeah, it's weird to say it because like Shrek just sounds like such a meme now.
But that's what that's just what really surprised me about it.
Totally.
I thought it was really nice. And because they do have some lines that are a little too obvious or hammy, like, oh, people judge me before they get to know me. But if you watch it again, you're like, yeah, man, it's delivered well. As you said, the animation can be bad, but the emotions on your face are so good.
They got what was important, I think.
Yeah, and I just felt it. Where I felt like him growing and opening up. It was nice. So anyway, go on.
And then as they're continuing to go to Duloc to get Fiona to Farquaad, they run into Robin Hood and the Merry Men. And I'm going to say it. It's a funny scene. I don't care who says it. I don't care who's listening.
Is it?
I laughed. He has got a French accent. That's all you need for a bit.
Can I tell you, my friend David watched the scene. He came in for that, and he's like, "Robin Hood is like the most quintessential British character. Why the fuck is he French?"
Because they wanted to make it funny. I mean, that's what you do.
I did like, I thought the Merry Men musical bit was very funny.
That's what I'm referring to, yeah.
When they had the cardboard bushes that they were hiding behind. Da-da-da-da-da-da!
It's a great bit.
This is pretty good.
But then Fiona gets fucking annoyed and she takes them out. She fights them all. She does a Matrix reference and she beats them up. And Shrek's like, holy shit, you're a bad bitch.
Oh, wait, that kick, that's a Matrix reference? It's not a Crouching Tiger reference? Or is it both?
The kick is Matrix.
Yeah.
John's, but like, I think John's communicating with us.
The pausing in midair thing, isn't that?
That's Matrix.
It is?
Yeah.
Am I dumb?
Matrix like invented that.
No, I thought the pausing in midair, like, and then to kick, that's totally Crouching Tiger.
No, that's what Trinity is in, like, the beginning of the movie.
I feel like you're probably right.
John, can you confirm? Right. Can you confirm that I'm right?
It's both.
It's both?
It's both.
Which one came first?
So, Crouching Tiger came first because that's what popularized that style.
Oh.
Matrix got it from Crouching Tiger. I think the movie Shrek is really trying to reference Matrix because they do that exact bit, but the style came from Crouching Hidden Tiger.
So Michael's more right.
I'm going to say we're both equally right.
Aw, that was nice of you. That was very diplomatic, Michael.
Thank you.
So anyway, Fiona's a total bro and Shrek is into it.
She's a bad bitch.
Yeah, she's a bad bitch, but she also burps sometimes, which is about.
That's really bad.
But Michael, things aren't what they seem.
Yeah.
So Fiona has been disappearing at night. But why? Oh, but Donkey finds out. It turns out that when the sun goes down, Fiona turns into an ogre because of this whole curse. You see, Michael, are you paying attention?
They foreshadowed a lot, so... Which is good. I like that.
Yes. But they foreshadow. I don't think it was too obvious. But anyway, she needs a true love's kiss. And the true love's kiss will change her into love's true form. So they kept that vague for us, which was very helpful.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Shrek is going to tell Fiona he loves her. He's so cute about it.
He's so cute.
Even though I don't think they have a lot of chemistry. And I don't think, I feel like Fiona was just kind of whatever the plot needed to be. Totally. I thought it was so cute. I didn't even care. He overhears her saying something like, you know, princess and ugly don't go together. You know, it's just an ugly beast situation.
Misunderstanding.
Classic. And he's like, she's talking about me. Fuck that bitch. Then the sun comes up, Michael, and Fiona's like, I'm going to tell Shrek the truth. But before she can, Shrek comes onto the scene with Lord Farquaad. What?
I actually really like that scene because they're like both genuinely hurt. And it was like really, it got to me actually. You know what I'm talking about?
That's what I'm saying, man. The emotional core of this movie but is fucking great.
But it's weird, especially in that moment, because I don't feel like I really care about their relationship, but I care about those characters a lot.
I know exactly what you mean. It's not like they have chemistry or you're like, oh, these two guys need to
But they both really seemed like, man, they got betrayed. And I'm like, oh no.
So she's mad because Shrek is being such an asshole who like is like, just go marry this guy. I don't care. So she's like, great, I fucking will. So he's like, we shall be married tomorrow. Why wait? Let's get married today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What? So then what happens, Michael?
To me, the best part of the scene is when Shrek is like all sad and he's all depressed, and then he hears some rustling outside, and it's Donkey like trying to build a wall through his swamp, and he's just like kind of just like depressed. He's like, What the fuck are you doing? And Donkey's like building a wall, he's like, hey, I helped get Fiona, I did half the work, this is half my swamp, and they have this huge fight, and it's like treated very seriously. So I felt like just emotionally it was really strong.
I totally agree.
Yeah. Because, like, they have very silly, funny, dumb banter the whole time, but this is a very, like, real scene. And it culminates in Donkey saying, hey, you have that misunderstanding. She wasn't talking about you. She's talking about someone else. You love her. Let's go get her. So
I just thought that dialogue was so well done. Yeah. I don't know. You know, it's so silly. Like, oh, it's he's his dumb, silly, chatty sidekick in him. But it really goes to the heart of what you were saying, Michael, about how their relationship is actually really well done.
I think so.
Donkey and Shrek.
So Shrek gets to Duloc in time. And
how, though? How does he do it?
Oh, with a dragon, because he wanted it.
There was a sad montage earlier where Shrek was being sad and Donkey was being sad, and Donkey met up with Dragon. So this was foreshadowed properly, that they met up and liked each other again. For the first time, because now it's consensual.
It is a funny bit where they're like, no, don't go in the wedding just yet, because they're going to say the line, who objects? And Shrek's like, I got to fucking, all right, okay, I'll wait for the line. And then Donkey's luck's like, no, he already said it. It's like, what the fuck? It's like,
I thought it was a funny where they landed with the dragon, and the dragon looks up to the knights and people scattering, and Donkey goes, all right, you go have your fun. We'll whistle if we need you. Like, he's basically, you can go kill some people. It's fun.
But I just the wedding bit, it's just like, you didn't even need that. You just like took 2 minutes out in the dramatic moment of the movie to have fun. But I liked it.
It was good use of time. Well done, movie.
So Shrek marches in. He's like, hey, Fiona, I love you. Don't marry Farquaad. And this is another funny reference bit where the knights have like cue cards for the audience. so that they like laugh. He turns the cue card to say laugh and discuss, and they all laugh at Shrek.
An ogre thinks he loves the princess. And then he like waves to the knights to do the laugh cue card. And it's a really good joke.
And because it's John Lithgow, the lines are great. But Fiona at that point is like, all right, I'm going to show everyone who I really am. And she reveals her ogre self. And then what happens? And then Farquaad is like, all right, kill him. Just kill them all. But then, so there, people are shooting arrows at Shrek and Fiona, and oh no, they're in danger. They're going to die. But then the fucking dragon comes through the window and fucking saves the day. And it just straight up eats Farquaad.
Murders. Some
murders.
Might say.
That's a murder. No blood, but it's pretty great. So they kiss. And the spell breaks. She gets to be human again. How great. Except.
Oh, wait.
unless she is actually, we find her fate, and she goes, wait a minute. I'm still an ogre. What the fuck?
That did feel like a really direct subversion of Disney expectations right there.
But
more than anything else. I mean, they did it exactly like the Beast transformation, where she spins up in air and then goes down. It's exactly Beauty and the Beast. Right?
But it's like, yeah, but I think it's a little...
Not in a bad way. I'm sorry.
No. I'm just saying, I think it was the right call to do it like that.
I agree. I do, because like, it wouldn't have been better any other way. If I were Fiona, I'd be pretty pissed about just not being human, because being human's pretty cool.
True.
I don't know.
Anyway, and then they get married, and it's happily ever after. And then Donkey sings a song.
What's the song?
And then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Hey! Now, let's go to our next segment called The Bro Call, where we talk to our brother John about this film.
Ba-ding, ba-ding. Bing, bing.
John, what do you think of the film Shrek? Have you seen it? What do you think about it?
Yeah, I really enjoy Shrek.
Did you watch it recently?
Let me build it that up for a second. So I generally like the characters of Shrek and Donkey and their relationship. I don't really like the story of Fiona.
Yeah.
And like her journey.
Whoa.
I like Fiona as a character, but I just like it. Just her story feels too contrived. I get it; it's a fairy tale; it's supposed to be like that, but it just seems too. It never really lands right for me. But I tolerate both of those because I love the side acts of this movie deeply and obsessively. So you asked, did I watch this movie recently? I did watch it like last year. The only thing I watched immediately before this podcast is literally my favorite part of this movie, which is the Muffin Man bit. It's not even a joke, really, because they don't say a joke. It's just the Muffin Man.
Just like,
and it's really amazing.
Just really
John
dramatic.
Lithgow's performance is just phenomenal.
Lithgow is great. The guy who plays the Gingerbread Man is great. The Magic Mirror is great. Robin Hood is great. There are so many great side acts. All the people have done Duloc. Great. I love all the side acts. Maybe not the dragon so much. I thought that was a bit too cheesy and contrived too. But everything else.
Yeah.
Loved it. Totally. Loved the world. Loved all the little side jokes.
Why do the three little pigs have like very heavy German accents?
The pigs! I forgot the pigs! The pigs are great!
I think that makes more sense than Robin Hood being French, to be clear, because three little pigs are part of a German fairy tale book. That makes way more sense.
But it was funny.
Yeah, but people don't really realize that the Germans or the pigs are German. Everybody knows Robin Hood is British, which is why making him French is so goddamn funny.
What do you mean they don't realize it, John? They go, yeah, this is good.
I mean, in like real life, that the Three Little Pigs is a German fairy tale. Everyone knows Robin Hood is a British. Would you call it a fairy tale? I actually I don't know. Did he exist at all?
I don't know.
I don't think he did.
No, he did not.
Thank you, Clint. Anyway. Yeah. So I genuinely enjoy this movie. It's not the greatest thing out there. Definitely doesn't belong in our new AFI, but I like it. I like it a lot. I give it a B+.
B+, nice.
That's really high for you.
I like it. I've said that like 7 times.
Fair enough. John, thank you so much for joining us on this bro call.
Thanks so much. Clayton, why do you grade this film?
Can you go first?
Sure. So I have to grade on my own scale, and my own scale is like what I like the most are friendships. And I think this movie has such a solid, good friendship.
Friendships are your favorite thing. That has been well established.
So it's this movie is an A for me. And I know that's too high, but like,
Can I say, why is it not an A+?
I don't even know, especially. Like, there's flaws. So one thing I don't like, you know, like Fiona's not great, I was going to say, like, but again, making her character more complicated, adding just more things to the movie, I don't generally think is a better idea. I like movies that are pretty simple.
Agree.
So I don't know. Maybe just like how much Shrek just farts and burps, and it's like a fart movie.
It does it for you.
I mean, no. I'm trying to think of my negatives.
Oh, sorry.
But it's just got a solid. It's a great. Maybe, honestly, I actually might land on who is this movie for? Because I actually like when a good kids movie is good for kids.
is not for kids.
And
maybe.
The woman at the beginning of the movie is like, look at this fucking jackass. I mean, she doesn't say fuck it, but you know what I mean. I don't know. I'm rambling. That's my heart says A. I'm saying A.
I'm going to say B+, but only because, well, when I consider the AFI stuff, it is actually really culturally relevant. And I almost want to grade it higher because I do feel like Disney/Pixar has a monopoly on all the great animated films. But I don't know if Shrek is the greatest animated film, but I just liked it so much. I thought, you know, I love the idea of a scrappy underdog coming in and actually having a really emotionally resonant film. So well done, DreamWorks.
Yeah, it's fucking good.
It made me fucking laugh. And the fact that I was prepared to go in and like, oh, Michael, actually, this movie you liked as a child fucking sucked and you suck.
You do like and to do that.
I love to dash your hopes and dreams. And I was wrong.
It's a fair thing.
I was wrong. So
B+.
This is great.
Who are we sponsored by?
Well, why don't you just check our fucking notes? And we're sponsored by DreamWorks Productions.
Ooh, nice. And we have a special note that they Trolls World Tour is out in not theaters, but it's on video on demand currently. Trolls World Tour, you got to check it out. They have all the best YouTubers in the movie, which is just great. So, you know, like Kyle, I don't know any of their fucking names, but all the hot YouTubers, all the TikTok stars that you love and that I especially love are in the film. And boy, your kids are just going to have a great time. A lot of colors.
And we are too old to know any of this.
It's a movie, probably. So that's our sponsor. All right, and let's find out what our next movie is. And
well, let me go to the randomizer. And we are watching Fight Club.
Oh, who's that?
Sexy Brad Pitt vehicle.
He is quite hot. All right, I can't wait for
that. Stay tuned for that trailer, which is probably not weird or pretentious.
And
cut!
I want you to hit me as hard as you can.
Why?
How much can you know about yourself if you've never been in a fight?
Wait, Let me start earlier. Like many of you, I was stuck.
You want me to deprioritize my current reports?
Yeah.
Until you advise of a status upgrade?
Make these your primary action items.
I couldn't sleep.
No, you can't die from insomnia.
I'd flip through catalogs and wonder, what kind of dining set defines me as a person? This is your life, and it's ending 1 minute at a time. Welcome! I prayed for a different life.
Soap. I make and I sell soap.
And this is how I met Tyler Durden.
Come on, hit me before I lose my nerve.
Okay. Ow! You hit me in the ear!
It was on the tip of everyone's tongue.
Can I be next?
We just gave it a name.
Gentlemen, welcome to Fight Club. The first rule of Fight Club is...
Wow, nice.
You do not talk about Fight Club.
Is that your blood?
Some of it, yeah.
After Fight Club, we all started seeing things differently.
You're gonna have to keep me up all night.
And she ruined everything.
You're not into her, are you?
No, God, not at all.
We've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars, but we won't.
He had a plan. To what purpose? In Tyler we trusted.
I gotta take Fight Club up a notch. Each one of you has a homework assignment. You're gonna start a fight with a total stranger.
That's not necessary.
And you're gonna lose.
That hurt.
You were looking for a way to change your life. You got it.
I'm stopping this.
It's already done, so shut up.
What kind of sick game are you playing?
Oh my God.
You kids. In the end, you will thank me.
Whoa! Whoa!
If you could fight anyone, who would you fight?
Shatner. I'd fight William Shatner.